Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it is the one, the only Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is Dr. John Stamey, and it's good to have everybody back in 2023. We got a great show tonight. First of all, we have from Richmond, Virginia, Tony Robinson. How are you tonight, Tony?
I am doing great. Glad to be back. Happy New Year to everybody. A lot has went down while we were on a break, and the wrestling world today, and I know that this year is going to be another big year for wrestling, so I can't wait to see what's going to go down this year.
That's great, and I think you're 100% right. And Richmond area again, Steve Logan, how are you doing tonight, Steve?
I'm doing all right. Just glad to come on, catch up with Tony. Like
well,
you
that's,
said,
that's great. We're,
been going on.
We're glad to have you. So, anyway, we'll get started. Tony, what have you got to say to get us started tonight on Pro Wrestling Interviews?
Well, first off, as you know, like since the last show, me and Steve had went to see Next Up Pro Wrestling up in Hampton, Virginia, and I have to say, like, that was, like, one of the best shows I've ever been to. I would say, like, indie show-wise. And it was, you know, just, like, and, like, still, even though they're still brand new, like, I think they put on an amazing show. And I want to tell everybody this, too, you know, their next show is on February 11th. We don't know much information yet, but hopefully we'll have some information very, very soon. And if you guys are in the Hampton area, definitely check out Next Up Pro Wrestling, because they are absolutely amazing. And also,
I totally agree, Tony. I'm looking forward to that February show, but go ahead.
Yeah, and so I know I said I have some really big news, and this is actually regarding Next Up Pro Wrestling's next event. So I didn't want to, like, say anything yet, but I feel like it is the perfect time for me to tell everybody this, that I am proud to announce that at Next Up Pro Wrestling on February 11th, I, myself, will be making my pro wrestling debut as their ring announcer.
Wow, that's great.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited for this. You know, like, even though, like, I'm not wrestling in the ring, you know, it's something that's going to help me, like, get my foot in the door. And this is really going to be so, so exciting.
Yeah, definitely glad when you told me the news when it happened. So, yeah, I was very happy to hear, given that I knew that was one of the roles you'd want. So, mm-hmm. Very happy to hear.
Well, thank you. So, I definitely want to talk about some events that went down from December to this month. So the first event I want to talk about is NXT Deadline, which happened the same day as Next Up Pro Wrestling. But luckily, I got to watch it the next day. So I want to go over the card and the winners of the matches. So the first match was the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge, and it was determined the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. And for anyone who didn't know about the Iron Survivor Challenge, so the Iron Survivor Challenge is a brand new match that Shawn Michaels created, and it's a mix of an Iron Man match and a championship scrambled. So basically, like, if someone gets like pinned or submitted, they will have to be locked in a cage for 3 minutes, and after that 3 minutes, they'll get to go back into the match, and whoever wins the most falls at the very end will win a championship match. So it was Indi Hartwell versus Roxanne Perez versus Zoe Starks versus Cora Jade versus Kiana James. And really good match. These women, like, they are the future of NXT. But at the end, this was most deserving to her. Congratulations to Roxanne Perez for winning the Iron Survivor Challenge. The next match was Isla Dawn versus Ava Fire. They keep changing these names. I can't even pronounce their names now. Another great match. I'm glad to see, it was amazing that two of these guys are from the country of Scotland, and to see these guys go head to head, and it's really amazing. A lot of hard hitting and a little British strong style in there. I love some British strong style. But at the end, Isla Dawn picked up the win. Next match was for the NXT Tag Team Champions, the challengers of the New Day versus the champs, Pretty Deadly. Also a really good match. I just love how they are bringing the main roster superstars to NXT, because I think to bring main rosters to NXT who either they haven't been in NXT or they return to NXT, this is a good way for the company to build NXT's ratings, and that's really what they did. And at the end, the New Day became NXT Tag Team Champions, which makes them a triple crown, because, as they want both the NXT Tag Team Champions, Raw Tag Team Champions, and SmackDown Tag Team Champions. So basically, another word for that is Grand Slam Champion. So I'm glad that the New Day became Grand Slam Champions, and they really deserve that victory. The next match was the Men's Iron Survivor Challenge, the term that they won contender for the NXT Championship. It was Axiom versus Joe Gacy versus JD McDonagh versus Kamala Hayes versus Grayson Waller. Another good match. I didn't expect the way it will end it, because I was rooting for JD McDonagh, but Grayson Waller got the win here, and he will get a title opportunity very soon. And the last match was for the NXT Championship, Apollo Crews versus Bron Breakker. And this was huge for Apollo Crews because we like barely, because we barely get to see Apollo Crews get a world title opportunity. So this is a really good opportunity for him. But sadly, he didn't get the win here, and Bron Breakker ended up retaining. So I want to ask you, what did you think of this show? What did you think of Deadline?
Tony, I did not check it out, so I can't give you a good enough answer for this, but I am a fan of Isla Dawn, and I might watch just to check her out because she was one of my favorite NXT UK talents, and she's kind of got the supernatural persona. But no, I'm glad you were able to check it out and enjoy it. I haven't followed NXT for a long time, but I've heard good things about Bron Breakker, and it's interesting that Apollo Crews is on their roster and New Day as well, given that they're main roster talents. But hopefully they can get some momentum because I think they cooled off after the rebrand. But there is some good talent there, like Roxanne Perez and Isla Dawn. Was there any other events besides NXT Deadline, besides Wrestle Kingdom, that you wanted to cover?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to cover NOAH, the new year 2023, because I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Oh, that's right.
I've heard some really good thoughts about the whole show. I mean, because I was trying to find it to that way I can watch it, because the one match I did want to see was the great Muda versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And I'm glad that WWE gave Shinsuke that opportunity to let him have that match with the great Muda, because I know the great Muda is retiring this year. Mm-hmm. And Muda is just amazing, like one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers of all time. And for him to have this match with Shinsuke, it's really, really amazing. And Shinsuke got the win over Muda. And while we're talking about Muda, I'll see what is your all time favorite memory from the great Muda?
His entrances are so great. Just the one with the magic lamp, that landing lamp, when he threw it down and the green smoke comes out, the floor, and when he had that match with Tajiri, his match with Shinzaki from New Japan years ago, and his match with Jushin Liger, when he was Kishin Liger, when Jushin Liger unmasked and revealed his alter ego, his face-painted alter ego, his demon persona before Finn Balor ever did it in WWE. Jushin Liger was doing that in New Japan. Muda's had some legendary matches. Obviously, one of Hulk Hogan's best matches for sure. He kind of made Hulk Hogan wrestle. Hogan was doing enziguris and stuff you wouldn't see him do in the States. Muda had a lot of legacy in WCW in the States, and he also had the legacy of Keiji Muto in New Japan and other promotions as well. But he definitely left a legacy, and I think he's one of those guys that is a big what if for WWE because he never worked with WWE. Jushin Liger even did one match with NXT against Tyler Breeze, but Muda never had that match with WWE. So he's kind of those big names that they never got. They got Sting, they had Jushin Liger, but they never had Muda. I really wish Muda could have had at least a match with Undertaker at least one time, given that Undertaker had a match with Ikushi and Michinoku Pro, but I even told Bruce Pritchard that too. But yeah, Muta, definitely one of my favorites for sure. Some legendary matchups. And I did not see it yet either, but I definitely will. It's, I believe, probably on DDT Universe is where Noah is, and it's a subscription-based. Might be in the Bima, which is a Japanese website. I've seen clips and pics here and there. I believe what happened was Muta was missing Nakamura. He looked like he was lip-locking Muta. He was like, it almost looked like a kiss, but he was sucking out the poison, and then was able to spit it back at Muta and able to get the win, misting him back. And I've seen other talents use the mist. Obviously, Great Kabuki did it, and Muta did it, and then Tajiri. It's just very iconic, and also one of my favorite pro wrestlers, Malakai Black, also yours as well, does the black poison mist, obviously influenced by guys like Muta and Kabuki. So Muta has a huge influence on wrestling still. Yeah, like, thanks for reminding me to, thanks for bringing that up, because, yeah, that was a big moment. Also, Keiji Muto had a match, a six-man tag with the Shota Umino and Tanahashi versus LIJ, one of my favorite New Japan factions, so that was a pretty big match for him, too, this past week at Wrestle Kingdom. And he might have more matches still, but that might be his last Tokyo Dome match that I'm aware of, unless he's on the Noah show coming up. There's like a New Japan, there's a Noah crossover Wrestle Kingdom as well. But Tony, if you don't mind, I might cover night one of Wrestle Kingdom briefly. There was there was three pre-show matches. There was Oiwa versus Bolton, and that was an exhibition match, just 3-minute draw. Pre-show match was the Rambo, which is kind of like a almost like a Royal Rumble, but the last four win the match. Kind of different, and then whoever wins that match they have a four-way match later on to have a King of Pro Wrestling trophy that they win after that four-way match. So this was just the Battle Royale, last four remaining to win that match. It was Great Okan, Shingo Takagi, and Sho, and Toru Yano. And Toru Yano is been a winner of these Rambos, it seems, a lot in the recent Kingdom events. And the third pre-show match was an Antonio Inoki Memorial six-man tag. I thought that was great that they were mentioning Inoki at least twice or more during the show. But yeah, this was the third pre-show match. It was Yuji Nagata, Satoshi Kojima, and Togi Makabe versus Tatsumi Fujinami, Minoru Suzuki, and Tiger Mask. And I believe Makabe got the win over Tiger Mask over a roll-up. And it was definitely interesting to see Suzuki tag teaming with Fujinami. Fujinami's a legend, so Suzuki and Tiger Mask 4, I believe, was in their team. And Suzuki's one of my favorites, and Fujinami is obviously a legend. So Fujinami, after the match, was talking about Inoki after, and Chris Charlton with the translation. I thought that was great. They're talking about Inoki given his passing last year. And then the first match on the official card, the fourth match overall, it was a tag team match for the junior heavyweight tag team titles. They were the champions, and they defeated Leo Rush and Yo. So definitely glad to see TJP on a big stage like this as a junior heavyweight tag champion. I've met him at a big-time wrestling show, and interesting that Leo Rush is still is mixing it up in the New Japan as well. Fifth match overall. This is the second match on the card. Kairi had a match with Tam Nakano for the IWGP Women's Championship. This Kairi got the win with the elbow, and definitely glad to see Kairi is champion of Stardom, IWGP Women's Champion. But this was quickly followed by Sasha Banks, now Mercedes Moné, making her debut in New Japan. Quickly, stealing the spotlight from Kairi after Kairi's first title defense. And Mercedes came out with a great robe, had a crown on her head. Her hair was like blue and almost flame-like. I thought she had a good look. Some people said that she botched the move on Kairi, the DDT, but other than that, her debut was pretty good, I think. The promo was good, I thought. She was there to make history and basically challenge Kairi for the title at some point, making her, statement there, making her challenge there. So hopefully soon at the next big New Japan event that they put that on the card, because Kairi's really great. I thought she could have been bigger in WWE, but really glad to see her representing New Japan Stardom and such, and Mercedes as well, because Mercedes, when she had that first hiatus, she trained with the Sendai girls over there when she had her first sabbatical over there in WWE. So I'm really happy for Mercedes. And then next match was a tag team match for the IWGP Tag Team Championships. Bishamo, Goto, and Yoshihashi defeated FTR. FTR recently lost the AAA Championships as well as IWGP, but I'd still say they're obviously one of the best tag teams in the world, if not the best. I thought it was funny that Kevin Kelly mentioned on commentary that Bishamo were kind of left out of Pro Wrestling Illustrated tag teams of wrestling. I thought that was funny from Kevin, but a really big fan of Goto, so I'm glad to see that he's got the tag team gold again. And I think FTR, even though they lost the IWGP titles, they're still a great tag team, and I'm looking forward to see what they do next as well. And then the next match was this for the inaugural NJPW World Television Championship. Yeah, there's a lot of titles over there in New Japan, but really glad to see this matchup. Zack Sabre Jr., he defeated Ren Narita with a submission. Ren Narita is a student of Shibata, kind of very much mirrors Shibata looks-wise as well. And Zack Sabre Jr. is one of my favorite technical wrestlers, so this was definitely a matchup that I enjoy. And also after the match, Zack Sabre Jr., having just left the now-defunct Suzuki-Gun, which I'm kind of not happy about, that Suzuki-Gun split, but it was amicable. It was not, it wasn't a hard split. It was just a soft split. But Zach has left that group and now joined Team MDK or TMK or something like that, the tag team from Pro Wrestling Noah, that were also in WWE, I believe, at some point. But he's got history with those guys. I definitely look forward to seeing what he does now that he's in another stable and now that he's the television champion. The next match was for the Never Openweight Championship. It was Tama Tonga, and he defeated Carl Anderson by pinfall. Tama was accompanied by Jado. Carl there's a lot of controversy with Carl because he's currently signed with WWE, and there was conflict with him and the Saudi Arabia show, the booking of when he was going to defend that openweight championship. But he's lost it to Tama Tonga, and Tama Tonga is obviously with New Japan. So kind of glad to see Tama get this win, given that Carl Anderson's not wrestling for New Japan. It's just you definitely want someone from the New Japan brand to hold it. So it was about time. I thought it was interesting that Carl Anderson was able to still wrestle New Japan, given that he's with WWE. That was interesting, but that was the circumstances. And then, obviously, I mentioned earlier the six-man tag with the – this was Muto's last New Japan match, which was very interesting. Given that Shota Umino got the win, he got the pinfall over LIJ. So it really boosts Shota Umino's stock. He's a young up-and-comer. He looks like an ace. He's got the hair like Tanahashi. He was also mentored by Moxley briefly when Moxley was in New Japan. So I think very awesome moment that these guys get to wrestle Muto and or wrestle with Muto in his last New Japan match, a six-man tag. And LIJ are one of my favorite factions. So it's really cool to see Sonata, Naito, and Bushi wrestling Muto. And Tanahashi is one of the best ever in New Japan. So this was a great matchup. And then the next match was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Hiromu Takahashi got the win over Taiji Ishimori, who was the former champion. So now Takahashi is the current Junior Heavyweight Champion. Big fan of Takahashi. I think he's really great. And El Desperado, formerly Suzuki Gun, and Master Wato, also in this match, was a four-way. So I really like Desperado, but I think Takahashi, given that he's with LIJ, and really glad that he got the win here. But since we're midway through the show, John, did you have any plugs you'd like to get in before I get into the
event?
John?
Chris, no, 843-655-8775.
Can you repeat that again? Because you cut out earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, if you need any life insurance, give me a call, Dr. John Stamey, 843-655-8775, and thanks.
All right. Thanks for that. This double main event was Kenny Omega. This was the semi-main Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay for the United States Heavyweight Championship. This is epic match. Two of the best wrestlers in the world have some great high-flying ability. Omega was seconded by Callis, who did commentary at ringside. I thought that was neat, given that Callis and Kevin Kelly used to do commentary years ago for New Japan, before Callis went to Impact in AEW. So there was history there. And Omega had this Final Fantasy themed entrant coming out as Sephiroth, one of the characters in that series. And Chris Charlton's commentary during the entrances, I thought was great, hyping this up. Will Ospreay was coming in as the champion. Omega defeated Ospreay after, I believe, like 34 minutes, but it felt like longer than that. It was such an epic battle. It was a hard 34 minutes because just the brutality of it all. There was multiple V triggers, which, you know, the running knees. There was like a table used ringside. Ospreay, like, there was fighting on the floor. At one point, Kenny, like, was stomping on a table on Ospreay. Ospreay, like, duplex Omega onto a flat table with the steel side up. That hurt the worst. It was pretty brutal. There was, like, moments where Ospreay were, him and Omega were on the top turnbuckle, and they was exposed. There was no padding because Omega took it off. And, like, there was moments where Ospreay, like, caught a DDT on the top, or he got his face, like, planted on the top turnbuckle, which is exposed steel. It was pretty brutal, and I definitely enjoyed it. There was even a moment where it looked like Omega was going to do the one-wing angel to Ospreay, but he shifted Ospreay into a German suplex from the top. That was still pretty brutal. This will definitely be one of the matches of the year, even though it's pretty early to say that, given that it was the fourth. But, yeah, this is very hard to top. There was a lot of pressure going into it, given the talent of both of these guys. I would say definitely one of Ospreay's best matches for sure, as well as probably Omega, besides the Okada matches and his matches in AEW. But Ospreay, at one point, he was even cut up. I think it was after he got DDT on the top turnbuckle. And you could see him bleeding a lot. He had a crimson mask during this match, and he had some great moments and comebacks as well, but just could not defeat Omega. And United Empire was also ringside as well after Ospreay was, you know, being slammed into the turnbuckle. I believe Omega got the win with the one-wing angel, I believe, after V Trigger as well. So definitely an epic match. And also, main event was Okada versus Jay White. And Jay White was champion going in. Okada got the win over White. I did watch it live. There's a time zone difference with Japan, obviously, so I wasn't able to stay up all night, unfortunately. Like, sometimes I would, but catch this, and this was a really good match between these two. They've had history. They've wrestled each other before. Jay White has beaten Okada, I'm sure, several times, but Okada is that top star. I'm not surprised that he got the win over Jay White. I think some people will want to see Okada lose it eventually to someone else, like Sonata, but we'll see. I think Shingo Takagi laid out the challenge to Okada after the match, so I'm definitely glad to see Shingo get an opportunity, I believe. And also during this, play that after the event ended, there was a backstage fight between LIJ and Kongo from Pro Wrestling NOAH, which is a stable from Pro Wrestling NOAH, which is another Japanese wrestling company. So that was kind of building up to the second night of Wrestle Kingdom coming up. And they have a card for that, but I won't go over it here. But, yeah, January 21st is the next Wrestle Kingdom event. They've been doing Wrestle Kingdoms lately in recent years, two nights. They even did a three-night event, which was two nights of New Japan, and the third night was a Pro Wrestling NOAH crossover show. So I'm definitely glad to see that Pro Wrestling NOAH and New Japan are doing some crossover events still. Less familiar with them, but they definitely have some great talents. And yeah, definitely looking forward to that event. Tony, your thoughts on any of this New Japan card results, and did you get a chance to see any of it? Because I know it's a lot.
I got to see a little bit of it. Like you said, it's hard to just stay up in the middle of the night just to watch it because of the time differences. But this was a really great pay-per-view. Like, I really, really loved it. Cause, at first it was really hard for me to watch New Japan because, there wasn't really a channel where you can, watch it live and or keep up with it. But luckily, I know AXS TV does stream right after
TV.
Impact.
Yeah, I definitely recommend AXS TV. They don't show a lot of live stuff. It's mostly stuff that's happened before. But if you're new, that's how I got into it. Besides Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor had the relationship. But, yeah, I really do recommend AXS TV if you have it. Or Roku, because sometimes they'll show older somewhat past current New Japan and Roku as well, but AXS TV, that's where I kind of became a bigger fan of Mauro Ranallo and Josh Cornette, and Jim Ross was on there too at one point before AEW, so yeah. Did you get to see any of Kingdom 9, any clips or moments?
Oh, yeah, I got to see a lot of the clips, the Antonio Inoki Memorial Tag Team match was really amazing, because I know Tatsumi Fujinami trained with Antonio Inoki, and it was great to see Tatsumi Fujinami in that match, because he is one of the best of the best, and of course, he had some really good matches, people like Ric Flair and all of them, and it was great to see him in that ring. Got to pay tribute to Antonio Inoki. It was good to see TJP and Leo Rush in that match. I have always loved them when they first came to WWE. Well, the first time I saw TJP was when he was in TNA as Suicide, But it's really great to see these guys, do what they do. And, Kyrie, but this whole, women's division in New Japan, it's really exciting because, this is, the first time we ever had a women's division because, we're just so used to, seeing them on Stardom. But now, since they do now have a women's division, that's really amazing. And, Kyrie is a really amazing champion, and of course everybody knows I am the biggest fan of Sasha Banks, aka Mercedes.
I was waiting to hear this.
But when she came out, I was like, oh my gosh, she's in New Japan. Because I know they said that she wasn't going back to WWE. So I was thinking, where is she going to go? Because at first, I was thinking, maybe she's going to go to All Elite. But I'm actually glad that New Japan picked her up. And plus, I did like the fire hair that she had. That was really cool. FTR, they are one of my favorite tag teams right now. But they... ever since they left WWE, they really got a really big push in the wrestling business, and I'm really glad that they are, getting so many great opportunities and becoming, triple belt. Well, they're now double belt now. I think they double belt. Are they double belt?
AEW, maybe Ring of Honor, but I haven't been keeping up with Ring of Honor, but. Well, now they're not AEW, but they were like triple belts at one point, maybe before.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, And, like, I am, you know, it's good to see that I got, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. Won the World Television Champion. You know, he is like, one of the best of the best in New Japan. And, like, he's, like, well-deserved of that title. And, you know, I knew that, you know, Carl Anderson had to, like, drop the title at some point since he's now with WWE. So I know it was really strange that they actually signed him, you know, while he was still a champ at New Japan. Like, I really didn't know why, because I didn't know, like, that was really a thing. I didn't know that they can do that. But I knew that since he was in WWE and he had a title at another show, he had to drop it at some point to someone who is a part of New Japan. And Tonga, like, he is a really amazing wrestler, and he really deserved to win that title. Because, like, I remember, like, you know, just watching him all the time as the member of Bullet Club. And he's really, really good. You know, he really deserved that win. The six-man match, like, you know, Muto's last match, you know, and I agree, he's really, really good, you know, really amazing, and such a legend. You know, I can't wait to see, you know, what is next for him in the near future. Mm-hmm. Hiromu Takahashi. He's amazing. Like, I've been watching him in New Japan. And, like, he's absolutely amazing. You know, Ushimori, you know, he's good too. And El Desperado and Master Wato. Mm-hmm. Like, all these guys are amazing. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I swear, like, New Japan, like, has some, like, the most, like hard-hitting, high-flying, just all-around, you know, great wrestlers in the world. And, like, man, like, all these matches were good. You know, Kenny Omega, you know, he definitely deserves, you know, Kenny is one of the best wrestlers in New Japan. So, like, he is known for all around of Japan. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's really amazing that he got to win the United States Heavyweight Champion. And, the main event, you know, J.Y., you know, Okada, you know, they're another two great wrestlers. You know, Okada, you know, really, really deserved this win. Now I'm wondering, like, is J.Y. going to go to Impact? Because I know that, because since he is part of Bullet Club, like, I know some people from Bullet Club are on Impact. So I'm wondering mm-hmm. if he's going to move over from New Japan to Impact to join with them.
It's interesting. I guess it depends on his contract. There was a moment where Jay White was kind of giving his respect to Okada after the match. I don't think that's a turn. I think that was just a mutual respect thing, but that was one point that interested me after the match. And also, Jay is still with Bullet Club and Gato after, but also after Shingo, I believe, came out and challenged Okada. Okada did remember to mention Inoki after the match and repeated Inoki's catchphrase like Fujinami did earlier. So yeah, this was somewhat of a memorial. This was a memorial show for Inoki as well, given his passing last year and him being the founder of New Japan. So I thought that was great. But yeah, it definitely be interesting to see what happens for Jay White next. There's a lot of opportunity for him in Japan or in the States as well.
And so I know Night 2 is not until in 2 weeks, but I do know this coming weekend, Impact Wrestling does have a pay-per-view, which is Hard to Kill. So I will actually go over that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So for the pre-show, there's going to be a 6 knockout tag team championships. I mean, Nick, well, I said championship. A 6 knockout tag team match is Giselle Shaw, Savannah Evans, and Tasha Steelz versus the Death Dolls, Jessica, Rosemary, and Tara Valkyrie. Really, I'm excited for this match. I think the Death Dolls are going to win because I really like Jessica and Rosemary. So I definitely think that they're going to win here. Next match is a 6-way match. Angels versus Ponder, Valjar, I think I'm pronouncing it. Kushida, Mike Bailey, Mike Jackson, and Yuya Uemura.
Uemura?
Yeah. And, oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Like, I like a lot of, Kushida. Like, I like him. Mike Bailey. I really like those guys. I think one of them will probably win. But we'll see. So for the main card, we got a fatal 4-way match. We have Steve Macklin versus Rich Swann. I like both of these guys. Rich, I got to meet him at NGW. And I've been really been following his career for a long time. And he's just, like, absolutely amazing. I really love to see him get the win here. The next match is for the Impact Digital Media Championship. Moose versus Joe Hendry. I would like to see, I like Moose. I met him at NGW too, but I think like he needs a break from a title run. So I think Joe Hendry is going to retain here. There's also a Fatal 4-Way match to determine the number one contender for the Impact Knockouts Championship. Deonna Purrazzo versus Killer Kelly versus Masha Slamovic versus Taylor Wilde. I am a big fan of Deonna Purrazzo and Killer Kelly, but I think I could see Killer Kelly winning here and getting a title opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next match is for the X Division Championship, Black Taurus versus Trey Mitchell.
Miguel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trey Miguel. I think Trey Miguel is going to win. I think he is having a really great title run. So I think he's going to get the win here. All right, next one, we have a 4-way tag team elimination match for the World Tag Team Championships. Members of Bullet Club, Ace Austin, and Chris Bay versus the major players, Brian Myers and Matt Cardona versus Heath and Rhino and versus the Motor City Machine Guns. This is also a really tough match because, these are, the best tag teams in Impact right now. Because, Rhino and Heath, they are former champions. I mean, they were SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And Brian and Matt, they've been a tag team for a very, very long time. And most of the Machine Guns, they're legends in Impact back in what's on TNA. And Bullet Club, really great stable for sure. But if I had to pick, I think either most of the Machine Guns were retained, but if someone becomes the new champion, I think Bullet Club will win.
Mm-hmm.
The next match is Eddie Edwards and Jonathan Grisham. Another two great wrestlers. I think Jonathan will probably win here. But but at the same time, I do see Eddie winning. But you know, it can go either way though. The next match is the title versus career match for the Impact Knockouts Championship. Mickey James versus Jordynne Grace. So, as everyone knows, if Mickey James loses a match, you know, she will be retiring. And man, like this is really, really hard because I would love to see Mickey James get one more title run before she retires. But at the same time, you know, I can see Jordynne retaining, but as I want to see Mickey James get one more title run, I think I want to go with Mickey James. So that, cause I would love to see her get one more title reign before she retires. And the last match is a Full Metal Mayhem match for the Impact World Championship. Bully Ray versus Josh Alexander, and this is Bully Ray's Call Your Shot Championship match. And it's good to see Bully Ray back at Impact, and I'm glad, like, you know, he's doing well, he's doing healthy, and he's, you know, still wrestling to this day at 51 years old. Like, that's really amazing that he's still wrestling. But I don't know, I don't think he's going to win the title here. So I think Josh Alexander is going to retain. So Steve, like, what do you think of this whole card here?
Gresham versus Edwards sounds interesting from a technical standpoint. Yeah, I'm kind of hard to pick James or Grace. I think twilight of her career, but still. Probably can go at a high level, so it's hard to pick there. And I'm hoping Alexander can stretch Bully Ray. I want Alexander to retain the title. Also interested in seeing what Aid Austin can do in that tag team. That four-way tag team match sounds great on paper, given the talent involved, Mercy, Machine Guns, and Aid Austin. So. And also, love Jessica Havoc and Death Dolls versus Evans. That sounds interesting as well. So I did not catch up with Impact a lot, but on paper this does look like a good card, like for the matches on here, so it might be worth checking out. Is there any other thoughts or plugs besides Impact? Like, is there a date for a next step in February, I believe?
Yeah, I do know that for next step, the date is February 11th. So, like I said before, like, if anyone in the Hampton Roads area, you would like to check out me and everybody else at next step, definitely, you know, go check them out. You can follow them on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you just go and type in Next Up Pro Wrestling, and it should pop up. And, you know, definitely keep an eye out for their tickets and when they announce their event, because I know they are going to be announcing their event very, very soon. I don't know when they're going to announce it, but I do know it's going to be very, very soon. Now, I know this just came out last month on Peacock, but it was the Woo! Big Clummy Ric Flair documentary, and I want to ask John, because John,
right.
I know the new Ric Flair documentary just came out. I know you're a big fan of Ric Flair, so have you gotten to watch it, and if so, what did you really think of it?
No, I really haven't, but I intend to. I just have not had a chance. It's been real busy with putting on Comic-Cons and everything like that. So, yeah, I'll be watching
it
as soon as I can. Was it good?
I think so.
I didn't watch it yet either, but I'm hoping to watch it as well.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't even know he got struck by lightning. Like, I think I have his book, and I completely, like, I knew he had the plane crash, but they mentioned he got struck by lightning, too. I was like, what? Like, this guy must be blackmailing God, because he's, like, could have died at least 3 times already with his later health scare and then the airplane crash. Like, it's, you get reminded of it in this documentary, like, how many times he's escaped death. I think in later years, Ric Flair, I've kind of become less of a fan, but he's obviously one of the all-time greats. And it was interesting to see documentaries before, but this was kind of like a modern, a lot of talking heads, a lot of sports and hip-hop talking heads on this doc. You had like Stephen Smith from ESPN. You had Post Malone. You had a bunch of pop culture people come on and talk about Ric Flair. So I definitely recommend John to check it out when he gets a chance. It's on Peacock.
We'll do. Just it might be another week or so because we're getting in the middle of the time season, but things are going good there. So anyway, and I guess I'm gonna do my quick plug here for Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic Con. That is coming up February the 18th at the Sturgeon Center in downtown Jacksonville. It's going to be magnificent. So I encourage everybody to come to the Jacksonville Comic-Con, Jacksonville, North Carolina. There you go.
All right. Well,
yeah, and,
I also want to also remind everybody, too, you know, speaking of Comic-Con, I want to remind everyone who is living in Richmond, Virginia, March 24th to the 26th, definitely go and check out GalaxyCon at the Greater Richmond Convention Center in downtown Richmond. It is going to be so, so awesome. So many great celebrities there. And I just saw Stephen Amell from Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And
Green Arrow.
He has done – yeah, from Green – yeah, from Arrow, Green Arrow. And I know that he has done some wrestling appearances in both WWE and AEW. So it's, you know.
Well,
you know. I'll go ahead.
No, I'm definitely glad to. I'm looking forward to that as well. And seeing if he has any panels. But I just wanted to mention again, definitely looking forward to Next Up Pro Wrestling. We've had George Foreman Jr. and Avery Jax on the show, on this show, and they were tag teaming on the recent show that we went to, so that was fun getting to see them tag team, and seeing her wrestle large men, that was pretty badass. She was doing moonsaults, like, to the floor and whatnot. She was pretty impressive, and definitely fortunate that we got to see that tag team match the next step of the most recent show last year.
And I will say, she does have a match at the next show, too, again. She's going to be in an intergender match against Billy Dixon. And he's a really big guy. You know, he's really great in the ring. So, you know, that's really going to be a awesome match. And I know Avery's going to do great in that match. And I'm looking forward to it.
Well, John, please take us home because
there's still a lot more to get it.
Yeah, there's more to get into next week, but stay tuned.
Absolutely.
John, please take us home.
Same bat time, same bat channel, 7:30 p.m. Pro Wrestling Interviews. Dr. John here with Steve Logan and with Tony Robinson. We had a great time tonight. We'll see you next week. And everybody take care, be safe, and all that good stuff. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.